We have water, which isn't edible unless it's boiled. We have gas and we have electricity and telephone, so we're in pretty good shape. I think they broke a couple of vases here and emptied a couple of fish bowls on the floor. Shook up the birdcage pretty bad, broke a couple of lamps and a few dishes, but that was about all. Down at National Cash Register, we dumped a couple of machines on the floor, but other than that, a couple light fixtures came down. We were in pretty good shape. I'm okay. I was on ADEC when it happened. I've been on ADEC since last Wednesday. I flew from Elmendorf to Kodiak via Navy transportation, and that was on Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday morning, we got up and went from Kodiak to ADAC on Navy transportation. I worked in ADAC from Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, Friday, and completed my work on Friday at 5 o'clock. I was invited out to dinner to an ensign's home there, who was one of the men who is over this. He supervises the operation of a couple of our accounting machines down there. And about 8 o'clock in the evening, somebody came up and knocked on our apartment or his apartment, and said that there was going to be a tidal wave hit ADAC soon, and we were all to evacuate to high ground, which we did. And we waited and waited and waited, and nothing happened. So we came back down to low ground. And the only communication that the average person on ADAC had with Anchorage was the AFRS Armed Forces Radio Service, and that was out of order. Apparently their line had been downed by the quake. So all we could hear through stations in the States was that Anchorage and the surrounding area was completely devastated, and it left a pretty bleak picture. The next morning we got up, and that about noon that day I caught a Navy transport. It was going from Shimla to Elmendorf and stopped by, picked us up, and we flew on to King Salmon and picked up a couple of FAA personnel who had homes in Anchorage, and then flew on into Anchorage. I arrived at Elmendorf Air Force Base that night after dark. All the city was dark except for regular house lights. There were no street lights on, which made it look much smaller than it is. From the outside of Matt's terminal at Elmendorf, it looked okay. But you go inside and the ceiling was down on the floor. I mean, all the rubble and the acoustical tile and plaster was on the floor. Electrical wiring was hanging there. And there was a huge chimney which broke up above the roof, fell down through the roof, and this had laminated beams. I'm sure Dad knows what I'm talking about. A laminated beam approximately 6 inches wide and, 2 feet thick. It was just sliced in two like it was just cut with a chainsaw or something. It was unreal the way it just took the section, the width of that chimney, and it came crashing down into this house, and they have a steel desk there that's 6 inches high right now. That was the first thing I saw of this quake. That night, I got on a bus and rode into Anchorage. They had the majority or the whole business district completely under martial law, and they would not allow anybody into this area. They had armed troops completely surrounding the area. They wouldn't let anybody enter. I got my bags and went home that night. And the next day I found out that the Air Guard went active during this exercise or this emergency. And up to this time, I haven't seen anything of real consequential damage. So I went out to the Air Guard, and our hangar door was a little bit out of shape. And there's a few cracks in the plaster here and there around this hangar, but that was about it. I helped a guy work on an airplane for about 6 hours, and we got it going, and we decided we could go home. So they told me I didn't have to come out the next day unless I wanted to, which I didn't want to do. So I haven't been out there since. Sunday afternoon, this was, I got off Air Guard, came in, changed clothes, and went out to look at some of the damage. Now, the majority of downtown Anchorage that got hit the hardest is all blocked off, and you have to own a business in there to get a pass to get into the area. The, well, it started up on Government Hill, and it moved down through the Ship Creek Flats, up A Street to 4th Avenue, down 4th Avenue between K and L, down L to 9th and 10th, and through the Park Strip, and out into Turnagain Arm. Now this area I just described, which is probably 3 or 4 miles long, 5 miles long, is anywhere from 5 feet to 30 feet lower than it was a week ago at this time. Consequently, any buildings that were in this area are, well, they say you can walk over the top of the Denali Theater, which is just about as high as the Lacey Street Theater. It just sunk out of sight. The streets ripped up, cars are turned over. Penny's building is built something like Foodland was. In other words, you lay a slab of concrete on the ground and then you raise it up, and these slabs came down from the fifth story and landed on, one person was killed. It landed on a bunch of cars there and completely wiped out the cars. Anybody that would have been under there, well, this one guy was killed, but it's just lucky there weren't more people killed. The McKinley building is one of our big apartment houses with a TV antenna on top. People say that TV antenna was whipping like a fly rod. L Street Apartments, glass broke out. There was a lot of second-story new buildings, or I should say two-story new buildings, and I can walk in any second-story window you want. It's just unreal the way things just kind of dropped into nowhere. I almost got the impression that there was an underground river under the town which had gone dry, and this earthquake caused it to settle and fill up this cavern or whatever you want to call it. Now the geologists claim that what happened was the city is set on a gravel base, but there's layers of clay in this gravel, and it's these layers of clay that caused the gravel to slide under this earthquake. There's one apartment building called the Four Seasons, which was being constructed. It's, I believe, 6 stories high. Right now, it's about 10 feet high. The whole building just folded up like a stack of dominoes. It's unreal. It's like you made a building out of a deck of cards and then stood on the top of it. It's just flattened. The only thing sticking up a little bit is the elevator shaft, and it's laying over at a 30-degree angle to the ground. Lots and lots of homes have just almost disappeared. In fact, in Turnagain, they say homes have disappeared. We can't get out there to look at it. But there are, you walk down a road, they said, you'll see a mailbox and a driveway, and that's all. You walk up to the edge of this, you look down in there, you may see the basement of the house on top of the house. You may see a roof or a chimney, or maybe you can look right into the living room or a bedroom. I saw apartment houses that were split in two. Buildings like almost the size of St. Joseph's Hospital just split right in two. You can see inside them. There's a tennis court. You can walk right over the top of the net. You know, these about 20-foot high steel caging wire they put around a tennis court. Well, you can walk right up and climb over it without even trying. It's completely buried, 20, 30 feet in the ground. Car was flipped right over on its top where this fault line occurred. There's one house sitting perfectly level. The front end is supported on one side of a ditch. The back end supported on the other side of the ditch. There's absolutely nothing in between. I've seen many houses about the size of our house in Fairbanks that is standing level. The corner side there by Glasgow's is buried in the ground, and the basement is split out from under it, and there's a big gaping hole where our garage is. And you can look right into the basement, see the stairs and the clothes hanging on the line, but nothing but air underneath it. Some fantastically beautiful homes that are just completely crushed. The unfortunate part of this is there's a lot of people in those homes when it happened. And it's hard to say just how many people are killed. They don't know. And these homes are too hard to, well, they just don't know yet how many people were on vacation or were still working or what. Many schools were completely destroyed, others are untouched. The Turnagain Arm area got hit the hardest, and 4th Avenue businesses. Some of the 4th Avenue businesses were real nice buildings, but others were like the longest bar in Anchorage, and or the longest bar in the world. It's something like 2nd Avenue. It's completely wiped out. To me, this is a good thing, or part of it. I mean, it's going to mean that there's going to be either condemn that area and probably make a park out of it, or they'll rebuild it with new modern buildings, and there won't be this dumpy rat hole element of bars and greasy spoon cafes and pawn shops and etc. that you just don't need in any city. It's probably going to be a good thing for part of Anchorage, although many people have lost many, many, many thousands of dollars worth of property. You'll see one person on the street and ask him how things are, and he'll say, fine, didn't touch a thing. In fact, didn't even break a glass. Ask another man how he made out, and he says, I lost my whole home. He says, I don't even know where it is. So they can't find it. It just disappeared in the ground. Other people, in a way, an earthquake is, I don't know how to describe it. I would sooner have my house destroyed by an earthquake than by a fire, because I can go in and salvage my clothes and my personal belongings. Whereas, even though the house is destroyed, your belongings are there. Where in a fire, everything is destroyed. They have a fault line out here on Boniface Road that cracks the road. It's about a 6-inch gap. It goes right out into the boonies. And there happened to be a tree in its path, and it split that tree right smack in two. It's really something to see. The McKinley Building is something like the Hill Building. If you can visualize, say, the third story windows and the fourth story windows, in between these two windows, there's an X on almost every window in the building, or on the concrete between the bottom of the upper window and the top of the lower window. There's a perfect X there. The L Street Apartments, one lady told me she saw that building just swaying like mad. She says she doesn't know what kept it up. She says she saw walls buckle, glass pop out. She says the chimney on top buckled and fell something like 15 stories down. But it's still standing, and the people that were in it just said they had one hell of a ride. It seems that instead of this quake, it wasn't exceptionally severe one, the way I understand it. It trembled, and then it kept trembling. It didn't stop. Everybody kind of figured it would stop. And when it didn't, if they didn't get knocked on their feet, a lot of people made it outside. I know one woman told me she stood in a doorway till the doorway turned to a diamond-shaped doorway, and then she decided she'd better get out in the street. People said they were knocked on their feet, they couldn't do anything. Other people rolling on the floor. It took flagpoles and whipped them like fly rods. It shook down a concrete brick wall. There's a two-story brick building here. It's brick on two sides and, of course, frame in between. And a row of cars was parked along one side of this brick wall. This brick wall on the second story up fell, and all these six or eight cars that are parked along the side of that building are about 3 feet high right now. Completely wiped them out. Alaska Sales and Service, that building that I showed Daddy, that Gordy Mitchell would be working in soon, is just one great big mess. It's a beautiful brand new cement building, and it's just about 5 feet high right now. You go further down the road, they have the big Chrysler Center, which is very much similar to the one that they had in Fairbanks that went bankrupt. That building is about, I think it's 6 feet high right now. There isn't a piece of glass or anything in it. There was four or five brand new Chryslers parked in there. They're completely flattened. It's just unreal. It's amazing how fast they're rebuilding the city and filling in these huge holes with gravel and trying to reestablish their telephone poles and communications and their electricity and the power and the all sewer and water, etc. The Anchorage International Tower, which was, I believe, 5 stories high, is now 1 story high, and one man was killed in it. It's just unreal. That tower is just level with the top of that building that it was in. And it stuck up there something like 5 stories high. It's just level. It's hard to believe. O'Merrill Tower didn't seem to get hurt a bit. All the big apartment houses in Anchorage have been condemned. I don't know about the Westward Hotel. They all have real bad cracks in them all over, and the building inspectors have condemned them. The general attitude seems to be, let's get her built back up as soon as we can. The hell with the rest of the stuff. Looks like National Cash Register Company is going to make a real killing on this due to the tremendous number of machines that were dumped on their heads during this quake. You go into a drugstore right now where 90% of the stock was dumped on the floor, and you can smell a combination of old vitamins and minerals and acid and perfume and cosmetics and a little bit of everything that's still, they really reek it, but they're getting the whole mess cleaned up very fast. And everybody seems to be pretty optimistic. You don't hear anybody bitching about gonna leave or anything else. Of course, Anchorage didn't get hit anywhere like Seward or Kodiak or Valdez did. Of course, from what I know about Seward, I think it'd be good riddance if the whole damn city was wiped out and they started over again. Of course, I wouldn't wish that on anybody as a personal loss, but that was one of the dirtiest cities I've ever seen in my life. I certainly hope the city council gets together with the Chamber of Commerce and they rebuild a city with a little better planned and a little neater, try to maintain it a little better. Since I've gotten back from Adak, I've heard the island's been hit by a couple of tidal waves, which I don't know. I couldn't get any confirmation on this. I assume Dr. Johnson called you and told you that he ran into me at Matt's terminal and gave you the message that I gave him that I was okay. Today at noon, I ran into 172. It was one of these days that there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was very warm. And I took a our programmer here on our computers and another programmer that came up from the States for an airplane ride around Anchorage, and we drove down or flew down the Seward Highway to Girdwood and circled Mount Alyeska, and then flew up towards Portage. Down, we were right on the deck about 200 feet above the water there, and looked at all the bridges that were knocked out down there, and there's a lot of them. Boy, they're laying right down in the riverbed. The railroad bridges are in good shape, and they appear to be either fixing them up so they can drive across them or kind of fording the rivers there. There's cars all up and down the road between here and Portage. And in Portage itself, I don't know whoever said it was leveled, because it's about the farthest thing from the truth in the world. All the buildings that I remember seeing down there are still standing. There might be a few real ratty buildings that are down, but the main buildings that I remembered are still standing. They all have what looks like a foot of mud around them from the exceptionally high tides, or else the land has sunk. There's many miles of road there that have sunk. The train depot's okay there. The road's kind of heaved in a few places, and there's a lot of cracks in it, but I never saw any huge gaping holes like I've seen pictures of. I think they're probably closing up now. There's a lot of places there where the road is just about level with the surrounding country, which indicates that it has sunken. And the surrounding country, of course, was flooded when we had those high tides about a week ago. It got to be when we went skiing here 2 weeks ago, it would be the snow, road, weather, and tide report. And once you got down there, you couldn't come back except during the low tide period. During high tides for about 2 hours, the road was covered by 4 or 5 feet of water. I flew down to Portage, and I made a right turn there and followed the road up to Portage Glacier Lodge. flew around that lake there, then hopped up the glacier and dropped down into Whittier and looked it over. And those huge buildings down there looked very much normal and all okay. They had a barge there with railroad cars on it. And the docks look okay. The unloading crane looked okay. But they had a tank farm there right alongside the dock, back a little bit towards the tunnel. Well, they have two of them, if I remember right, and one of them is completely destroyed. If you can visualize making tanks out of tin foil, and then taking a ball peen hammer or a huge sledgehammer and bashing in the top and then sprinkling it with 100,000 gallons of fuel oil and burning it, it'll give you a pretty good idea what the gas tanks looked like down there. Some were ruptured, but they all were pretty flattened from the immense heat that they had, or intense heat. If you're familiar with a tank farm, you'll notice how neat they lay the pipe and how it's all painted up and everything's running in very neat rows. Well, it looks like somebody grabbed hold of one end of this pipe and tried to whip it like you would a rope, and it broke up and it's just laying all over the country. And there's flat cars there that are spread out, sitting on the track sideways and upside down and every way but straight. And the railroad tracks are kind of torn up there right near the waterfront, which tells me that, I would say all their damage occurred from probably a tidal wave that hit, and maybe an earthquake, but I kind of doubt it. I think the majority of their damage was from a tidal wave that broke those fuel lines. And I came back to Anchorage pretty much straight line. I was on the road, but I cut all the corners that I took going down there. Then I flew over Anchorage International Airport and dropped down a little bit. They've restricted us to 2,000 feet above Turnagain by the sea there where the residential area went in. But it's really something to see from the air, the way that land just kind of sloughed off into the ocean with all those beautiful homes on it. You see some of them sitting on a cliff with nothing under them, and some piles of lumber down there is all that are left of a lot of homes. Then I went into Maryland, landed. I spent an hour and a half at $25 an hour, which is, I think, $37.50, and we split it three ways, which made a real reasonable trip out of it. And as clear as it was really enjoyable. The two places in town now, I noticed they have their own little seismographs. One is at Anchorage Natural Gas. They have a round disc, kind of a chart deal. It fits on a meter that a pen would scribe a mark on, you know, for, say, fuel flow or amperage flow or something. Well, they have it pasted on a tabletop, and they have a plumb bob hanging from the ceiling right in the center of it. And any time this plumb bob moves, they can detect it on this chart. And another place has a rather flimsy partition between two rooms. It's one of these lathwork room dividers. And on this, they have two sets of Chinese chimes, or they're not Chinese chimes. They're little pieces of glass hanging from kind of a mobile deal. And when they when the room rattles, these bells start ringing real loud, which is their little earthquake detector. And I was working on a machine right next to this, and I kept bumping into this wall with my shoulder, and of course these bells would go tinkling, tinkle, 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 and everybody would get up, and then they'd look at me, and they'd sit back down again. We've had a couple of pretty good quakes in the last 3 weeks since the quake, but nothing that even comes close to what we had that first day, or what they had. I wasn't here when it happened. Well, this is about all I can think of. I don't see why...